Now, before us today is one of the strangest but most important passages in the entire Bible. Gets me all excited. This is certainly the most important passage in the book of Leviticus. And because of the importance of this passage, we cannot do it all in one week. So over the next several weeks, we will be dealing with Leviticus chapter 14 to make sure we get all of the nuances of this passage down in our minds before we move on. And I want you to understand, we are doing it because it is one of the most important passages in the entire Bible. Got it? Strange, but overwhelmingly important. Now, I know it's springtime. I understand that outside today the sun is shining and the weather is warm and you want to get out there. I know that there will be a huge tendency not to come to worship to hear what the preacher has to say about this text. Bad children. Okay? This is one of the most important texts in the whole Bible. You need to be here for the next several weeks. If you absolutely cannot be here for the next several weeks, you know what you should do? Well, that might be good, but that's not what I had in mind. Okay, what you should do is tune in to the church website, which is CornerstoneFellowship1.org, and you go to the sermon place, right? And you can listen to the sermon right there if you miss it. They're always there. Okay, other preachers are using them. Okay, you can too. Now, the passage that we're going to start dealing with this week describes the Old Testament ritual of cleansing for a person who has been healed of what the NIV Bible calls an infectious skin disease. It involves a great and elaborate ritual. Everything in the ritual has a meaning, none of which was clear to the people who were first told to practice the ritual. But every bit of which becomes clear to us as we look at it under the influence of the entire Bible. I'll explain it to you. But before we get into the passage, there are a couple things that we need to keep straight in our minds and in our hearts as we make our way through this discussion. Ready? This is general stuff. If you want to write it on the back of your notes, that's good. Don't forget any of this. You need to keep it in your heart and in your mind today, tomorrow, and forever. The first thing I need to remind you of is that an infectious skin disease is a metaphor for sin. Okay, remember, I've told you that now for 3 weeks. It is a metaphor for sin. Therefore, what we are talking about is not simply a skin disease. We are talking about an infection which has made its way deep into the core of humanity and into our own hearts. Whether you want to admit it or not, me, all of us are sinners. We are individually sinners and we are corporately sinners. We all are infected with the disease. Remember, number one, that an infectious skin disease is a metaphor for sin, and sin infects us all. And then secondly, remember that in biblical times, the cure for the infectious skin disease was rare. Very rarely did anyone get free. I'm going to give you a hint here. You ready? We're talking about Old Testament times. They couldn't get free from the infectious skin disease. Guess what people cannot get free of the old way? Sin. It's in their hearts. They can't break free of it unless they have Jesus Christ. So when we're back in the Bible, in those Old Testament days, the ritual we are about to explore, the cleansing of a person for an infectious skin disease, was rarely, if ever, performed because nobody ever got well. The disease is far less important than the metaphor. What we're really talking about today is how people like you and me get cleansed from sin. And without Jesus, it cannot happen. And that's the third lesson that you need to keep straight through this whole thing. Healing is a gift from God. Back in the days when Leviticus was written, there was nothing a person could do about an infectious skin disease. Remember, I told you that the Hebrew word infectious skin disease means to be stricken. They were stricken with it, and it wrecked their lives. They were literally shut out of fellowship with the members of God's family and with the members of their own family. They were forced to walk through the world yelling to everybody, unclean, unclean, because they had this disease. There were no drugs, no medicines, no surgeries, nothing that they could do to help them fight this disease. Cures from such things were rare. And if indeed someone was cured, if they did recover, they knew that they did not get there by their own effort because there was nothing they could do about it. They understood that if they were cured from this ailment which had stricken them, their recovery was a gift from God. Now you hear me. You cannot be forgiven of your sin. You cannot be healed of the disease which infects you because you want to be healed. You can't do it yourself. There are no drugs you can take. There is no medicine. There is no surgery which will affect the disease which plagues us all. The only thing that we can do with our sin is to give it to Jesus. And if you give your sins to Jesus, He will nail them to His cross. And He will remove the ailment from you as far as east is from west. If you give your sin to Jesus, He will set you free. Sin recovering. Being healed from your sin is always gift from God. Anybody here been healed? Then what we ought to be doing right now is praising God, because we couldn't do it, but He did. Will you bow with me, please, in prayer? Father, we tend to be so arrogant. We think we rooted it out. We think we got rid of the problem. We think we're better than others because indeed they're still sinners, but we are saved by grace. Oh, Father, speak to us now and change our hearts. Let us understand that we are sinners who have been saved by grace. And let us just thank you for our healing, for setting us free. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now, I've got to tell you a little bit about how God heals you. See, I've come to the conclusion that if God wants to give you a birthday cake, he doesn't come baked, iced, with candles. He gives you a bag. In it are flour, sugar, eggs, all the things you need to make the cake. And what he says to you is, let's work on it together. Okay? Because if you've ever been a parent, you know that part of the joy of raising your child is doing those kinds of things with them, because they learn from you as they are engaged in the experience. So if God's going to give you a gift of forgiveness today, he's probably going to say to you, let's work on it together. He'll provide everything you need. The gift will come from him, but you put it together. So you may have to do a little work on your healing. But never think it is your effort alone that heals you. We are only ever healed by the grace of Almighty God. So look at those lessons. Get them fixed in your head. And remember these three things and keep them straight as we walk through, as we talk about this ancient ritual. You ready? The ritual of cleansing begins this way. The priest must go outside the camp to the person who says he has been cleaned. See, the problem is this. That person is outside the camp because of the disease. And because of the disease, he is forbidden to come into the camp. He can't come to the priest. The priest must go to him. The sick person is forbidden to enter the camp. If he came near the camp, he would have to yell out as he came, "Unclean, unclean," so that all the righteous people, all the people who considered themselves clean, would know to get away from him. The stricken person could not come to the priest. So word was sent to the priest. So-and-so needs to see you because he believes he has been healed. And then the priest had to take the risk. He had to put down his religious duties. He had to go outside the camp to the place where stricken people lived. The priest had to risk catching the infection in order to cleanse the one who had been stricken with it. And are you ready? It's going to knock you over. That is what Jesus did to save us from sin. You remember the old song? He left the splendor of heaven. Let it break your heart, will you? Let it move you. See, Jesus had to leave the safety of God's camp. He had to give up the throne of God and the glory of God. He had to leave his precious home with God to come down here to us. He had to come to the place where sinners dwell. Jesus left the splendor of heaven because in our sin-sick condition, we could not go to God. We couldn't go to him, folks. So he came to us. Remember the words? He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for us. There was not just a chance that he might become infected with our disease, the disease from which there was no cure. There was not just a chance of it. He knew it. It was absolutely certain. No doubt in his mind. He knew that when he came here, our sickness would make him sick. So sick that he would die. It was why he left the camp. It was why he came to us, to take upon himself our disease and set us free. It's so lovely, isn't it? God is so good. You know what he tells us in the New Testament? In the book of Hebrews and other places, he tells us that Jesus Christ is our high priest. And then the action that God required of the ancient priest, the thing God told the priest to do, Jesus, our high priest, does. He left the safety of the camp and risked everything to come to us because he knew that we wanted to be clean. Jesus left the splendor of heaven to come here among sinners such as us, to rescue such as you and me. I love the book of Leviticus. It is the first great lesson from this all-important passage of Scripture. The priest was required to go out to the ones who needed to be healed. And the action of the priest shadows the coming of Jesus. For he left the camp to come and set us free. Isn't that lovely? Doesn't it touch your heart that God himself would leave the splendor of heaven to come to earth just to rescue Don't you want right now to settle it with him? I mean, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you've never said, I accept what you did for me, don't you want it now? Don't you see how lovely it is? How much he loved you that he would leave the glory of the camp, the beauty of heaven, the splendor of his throne to get sick. To die, to heal you. Will you pray with me again, please? Father, I beg you now, if there is anyone in this place who has not yet settled things with you, who has not said, I love you, Jesus, because you loved me, who has not accepted the sacrifice you made to set us free, pray that you'll move on that heart now through the presence of your Holy Spirit and that you will touch them in such a way that they will say yes right now. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you, Lord, to set me free. And Father, for those who prayed that prayer, send upon them the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit. Seal them in the Holy Spirit that they will know from this time forth that they are cleansed, that they are free. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, I've got to tell you that the church so misses the importance of this lesson. Can I just say, the church misses the whole importance of the book of Leviticus. Somebody has hidden the important messages in this book from our eyes for years. When the Holy Spirit opens it, it's overwhelming when you look at what God's telling the people, the Hebrew people, about the coming of Jesus. Wait till you see what else he does. But we miss this lesson in the church. See, he says in the New Testament that we are a royal priesthood. That those of us who accepted the gift of healing are a holy nation. He tells us that our purpose is to follow the example of Jesus by doing exactly what Jesus did. As our high priest, he sets the model for our behavior. What Israel's priests were supposed to do, our high priest did. And we are to be priests after the order and example of Jesus Christ. You want to know what that means? We are supposed to leave the camp and carry the message of God's love to a world which is dying in sin sickness. They are stricken. And they can't get well unless we bring them Jesus. They can't cure themselves. They need to know the secret that God has told us. We need to be taking Jesus to a lost and dying world. We have the news. We know the truth that will set them free. And yet, oh, how we like the camp. How comfortable we feel in the house of God. How nice it is for us to sit in our pretty churches and sing our lovely songs and feel smug about our salvation. Well, sinners are dying and going to hell. Well, they tell us they're not. They tell us that God loves everybody. But we know the truth. We know the truth. We have the cure. The first lesson from the text. As the priest left the camp, as Jesus left heaven, we must leave the safety of the camp and go to the place where sinners live. Now you listen to me. The scripture warns us. He says when you go out amongst them, you be real careful because you will be tempted to fall into the same pit as they. But don't you do it. Oh, we go out in the world and we get so enticed by it, by its shininess and its splendor and its gold, it just pulls us in and we give up the message and listen to them. Don't do that, Jesus says. Be careful. But we cannot not take the risk. We must go and leave the safety of the camp. Because they cannot save themselves. And we know the cure. Jesus.